What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
What is going on, Bay Area? Welcome to Saturdays on The Game. It is finally here, Dan Devone. It is finally here. NFL football season. 2024, 24 hours away from all the games getting kicked off. We've already got two under our belt, and I've had a few takeaways from them. But first and foremost, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
Well, you know it's here when the first thing I see is Jersey Ken walking in with a Miami Dolphin hat. I can't get my arms around the guy. And here we go in New York Giants.
Well, dude, it's been hot and humid in the Bay lately. I mean, not right now, but for San Francisco, it's like 80 degrees on Thursday.
Nice.
I wanted to get the banana thong out, man.
Well, oh, come on. That's a bad visual to start things. Do I need to projectile vomit?
40 seconds in, you didn't want that?
And the minute I saw the hat, the worst cold weather team never bet on Tua Tagovailoa and McDaniel in December going forward.
You just got extended, Dan. They'll be there through 2028.
I think proverbial, I won't call it a hot seat, but somewhat tepid if he closes the season as he did a year ago for the former 49er, very popular head coach out in Miami?
Well, I don't know. Based on the first couple of years, and yes, we'll get into the San Francisco 49ers. I also have a couple of thoughts on the Giants and just overall getting ready for the NFL season in 2024. Before we do so, if you have paid attention to Mike McDaniel, who is, of course, you know, perhaps an heir apparent to Kyle Shanahan, offensive genius, guru, all the rest and stuff. If you paid attention, in 2 years, he's gone from a clean-cut sobriety poster boy to a cocaine king in Miami. If you give him till 2028, this guy's going to be up there with, I don't know, he might be Pablo Escobar by that point.
I'm curious as to what he's going to be rocking this year. Has anybody seen him? Because you know he's going to come out with some swag.
Well, he's got the curls going right now. He's got a nice little beard, and it's all, I don't know, it's just, it's kind of wet and messy. Like, he looks like the definition of humidity right now, which I guess is appropriate for Miami. But
hey, when you're in Miami, do Miami, Pablo Escobar. Not bad, man. Good stuff.
Evan Giddings along with Dan Devone here. I mean, dude, it's, and this is what, okay, so yeah, Mike McDaniel's going to turn to Pablo Escobar. By the end of the show, we're not going to become, you know, drug lords by any means, but I feel like, Dan, it is about the season in which, you know, irrational nature just takes over, right? But right before the NFL season starts, people getting amped up, they're feeling just ridiculous about their teams. Niners got Super Bowl hopes. I've tricked myself multiple times into believing that the Chargers can somehow win it all this season, even though they might not make the playoffs. Ken probably thinks the Miami Dolphins are going to go all the way this year and go 13-4, whatever it is.
All the way,
wherever that is. Probably, I don't know. Well, I guess if they got to New Orleans, they'd play well because it's hot down there. But the point is, it's a season to be irrational. And over the course of this show, I want to try and extract that out of you because, Devone, you are very level-headed. You are a balanced man.
Me.
By the end of this show, I will get a hot take out of you. And I don't know if it has to do with the Monday night game, 49ers-Jets. I don't know if it's got to do with the Niners season. I don't necessarily want to start there. Okay, we'll kind of wade into the waters a bit. We'll start with our, you know, our medium spice, then work up to the mango habanero, finally to the atomic at the end of the show. But when I say football season, like what are you waiting for? Is it tomorrow? Is it Monday? What are you excited about for football season?
Well, it's tomorrow. You know, just like anything else, the NFL does a good job of controlling the calendar. In other words, when you compare them to baseball and basketball and the other two major sports in this country, they dominate the calendar. And what do I mean by that is that they create the anticipation. They create, whether it's the minute the Super Bowl is over, it's okay, what about the combine? Get you ready for the draft. And then here comes the draft, and all you hear about is Caleb Williams. All you hear about is Marvin Harrison Jr. And so somebody doesn't have any skin in this game tomorrow because the Niners aren't playing. I'm just curious to see Caleb Williams. You know, is he the real deal out there in Chicago? I threw this stat at you before we even started that the last number one taken overall quarterback to win his opener, I do believe, was Derek Carr going back in the day with
not David
Houston Texans. I don't believe David was the number one. Was he overall?
David Carr was number one overall with the Texans. But Derek.
David.
I'm
sorry. Yeah. So Derek didn't play with the Texans, yeah.
Well, that might have been the only game he won that year. Well, I feel like he set the sack record his first season.
Worst offensive line in the history of the NFL. But that's where I'm at. I'm just curious to see what these guys are like. Now Caleb Williams and just all the storylines, right? One of which obviously is Aaron Rodgers, but we'll wait until Monday. But the NFL does such a good job of build-up and creating this level of, as Carly Simon once said, anticipation. It's all about this anticipation, which unveils tomorrow. Actually got underway in Brazil, and then, of course, on Thursday night with Patrick Mahomes and company in a dandy hell of a game on Thursday.
Both of them were good games.
Last night was a little sloppy.
Well, it was sloppy, but I feel like that's week one football. Like, especially the first, what was it, two or three possessions for the Eagles, at a fumble, an interception. Jordan Love wasn't particularly smooth, and he ended up getting hurt. Fortunately, it's not an ACL, but a left leg injury for him that is probably going to sideline him for a little bit. Hopefully he's back soon, because I love watching him play. But, you know, it's funny you brought up those two games, because I think they're fantastic ways to start the year. You know, you got some teams in the NFC last night that have potential to pretend, you know, maybe knock off the Niners or Detroit. I'm not so sure. But then in the AFC, that's kind of the cream of the crop, right? Last year's AFC Conference Championship matchup. And once again, Patrick Mahomes just takes Lamar Jackson's cake. But one thing I was thinking about is, you know, I think it's interesting that those two games pretty much have the two styles of quarterback that are modern day. And that's really what you're looking for. You're either looking for, you know, kind of a dual threat guy, which would be Mahomes, and I would throw Love into that category, someone that operates primarily in the pocket, but has the ability to extend plays, can take off and use their legs. And then, not necessarily run-first quarterbacks, but Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson are guys that can get out and wheel and deal, and they like to use their legs. And I'm not saying it's some, you know, massive takeaway that the two primary running quarterbacks were the ones. Well, I guess, sorry, on Thursday night it was Lamar that lost, and then last night is Jalen Hurts. But, you know, I do think it's interesting that the first two games we saw the two style of quarterbacks that it feels like the modern game has essentially moved into. Like, the statues are dead.
Well, are they? Because I'm still waiting for the true, quote-unquote, running quarterback to win a Super Bowl. I guess Patrick Mahomes, would you classify Patrick Mahomes as a true running quarterback? I think he's elusive, and he runs if he needs to. It's like a last option for him. But think about it. It's the Joe Burrows, it's the Staffords, it's the Tom Brady's that still, when we think about Super Bowls, that are synonymous with that quarterback position. I've yet to see someone like a Lamar Jackson. I've yet to see somebody who's primarily a dual threat and runs it as well as he throws it to win a Super Bowl. And I'm measuring things by the pinnacle here of obviously being the last team standing.
Yeah, I mean, the probably the closest example would be Russell Wilson,
yeah.
Which, by the way, look, you have a victory lap coming later in the show. I don't necessarily want to take one eight minutes in, but you did tee me up. Russell Wilson's not going to be starting tomorrow, but he is the starting quarterback.
Oh, did I say Justin Fields?
Yeah, but
well
technically you're right tomorrow. and see, this is the kind of, you know, irrational nature that we're going to be bringing out of Dan DeVos the next.
I mean, come on, do you want Justin?
Maybe
if you could combine the two, use Russell Wilson's brain, and then, you know, put it on Justin Fields' legs, and maybe you have a quarterback. But Russell Wilson is, come on, he was done. Or guys in Seattle that were telling me 2 years before he was dealt, and they were saying, you know, let him cook, whatever. You're like, no, the guy's done. And somehow they fleeced Denver in one of the worst trades ever. And Justin Fields, just put him at wide receiver already, all right? I mean, get it over with. By the way, we talk about worst trades.
Yeah.
I think we both are. Do you think in the last... And we'll put Trey Lance and the Miami Dolphins in that deal of worst trades over the last decade.
The ghost of Trey Lance.
What would you put at number one? Would you say that Denver Bronco trade, because they're still on the hook for $80 million for that of one Russell Wilson. Is that the worst trade? Because I know you're not going to get it, and I'm going to absolutely, like, just nail you with the right cross less than 2 minutes into the show.
Well, wait a minute. Are you going to hit me in the face, or are you going to let me talk about what I think my
bread basket,
proverbial right cross? Give me the Mike Tyson. No, Russell Wilson is probably the worst trade that has happened in recent memory, but it's also because of the results of the 49ers. Like, I said this before, I don't think it goes overstated enough how ridiculous it is that the Niners lost three first-round picks essentially for nothing, didn't get a quarterback, shipped him off for a fourth, and still got to multiple NFC championship games and a Super Bowl. Like, generally, when you whiff on a quarterback that badly and you give up as much capital as you do, you set your franchise back 5 to 10 years. But the Niners didn't do that. So that's the only reason I couldn't consider Trey Lance the worst possible trade in recent memory, okay. Although it'll certainly go down in the Bay Area as one.
Are you ready?
For the worst trade ever?
And in the last 5 years.
The last
'cause we think, we have a tendency to think Russell Wilson.
Yeah, of course.
Trey Lance.
The worst trade the last 5 years.
And it's timely. It's very topical.
Oh. Well, the Carolina Panthers trading Christian McCaffrey to the Niners. What a fleece. No.
That,
the first round pick. That's what they lost.
The Carolina Panthers?
Yep.
To the Chicago Bears?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? You wanted...
Well, we'll find out if it's worth it.
Bryce Young instead of Caleb Williams, and you also gave up...
DJ Moore.
The Bears are trading the number one overall pick of the 2023 NFL Draft to the Panthers in exchange for a compensation package that includes two first-round picks that happen to be in the top 20, as well as DJ Moore. And that first-round pick, obviously, turned out to be one Caleb Williams.
Are you serious?
Well, if Caleb Williams stinks, which I don't think he will, then it does not go down as a terrible trade. But the issue is that you traded for Bryce Young and basically still to this point has nothing else around. The Carolina Panthers are a joke. I mean, that trade basically just teed up the next phase of Chicago Bears football and catapulted them into relevancy, because not only were they able to turn around and get Caleb Williams, but then their own first-round pick, they turned into a solid wide receiver. They trade for another one. They actually made a really smart move last year at the deadline, going out and getting Montez Sweat, inking him to a big deal. So you got your defensive anchor on the line, ideally for the next few seasons. No, I think the Bears are going to be good. In fact, I don't know if we talked about this on air. I think the Bears are going to be better than the Packers this year, and this was before Jordan Love went down.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of people are in on the Chicago Bears and that they could be one of the disappointments this year. So we'll have to wait and see. A lot of people are out in Eberflus, and I mean, it's a good defense. It's just, I don't know, it takes a rookie quarterback, aside from, you know, Stroud of a year ago. Typically, you know, before you get your feet wet, you're talking halfway through the season. But we'll see with Caleb Williams. That's one of the things I'm excited about. When you talk about, you know, teams that have done well through the draft, speaking of games that were just played, we don't give enough credit to Kansas City. I mean, because think about it.
Yes, we do.
Well, no, but
we sit up here and stroke them every single time they play.
I know, but we do it just like we roll our eyes. I know it's difficult to do, but Brett Veach, just he's absolutely killing everybody. Because think about it. They're looking for the three-peat. And so you would think with somebody that's going for the three-peat or that's been as dominant as they have been over the last nearly going on a decade, you'd be talking about it in similar tones like that of the San Francisco 49ers. Well, that window's closing. The 49ers, maybe the window closed last year because the NFC was so bad and you had a lead on Kansas City at halftime. But it's clearly closing. All your chips are in the middle of the table now that you paid all this money to McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk. That this is the window is wide. They're going for a three-peat and they're getting younger. Xavier Worthy, are you kidding me? Like, it's almost unfair. No, but look at that defense. McDuffie might be the best cover, and he's 22 years of age.
Yeah, they traded away their top corner a year, or I guess this last offseason, in L'Jarius Sneed. No, look, All right, I'm with you. The Kansas City Chiefs are a well-oiled machine. There is no doubt about that. But this is where the future of the Niners becomes interesting, because obviously the Chiefs are sold and have been sold on their quarterback seemingly since the day he stepped in the building. If the Niners are sold on their quarterback, I do think there is potential that we're having the same conversation as far as giving credit to the front office for their young picks in a couple of years for the 49ers. And the reason is simply this. If you have a franchise quarterback and one that keeps you at a certain floor, for example, Mahomes has been to the AFC Championship game, I think every year he's been a starter, at least. Okay, so every time you bring in particular draft picks, it's the same thing with the Patriots. Remember how much we used to just fawn over Bill Belichick
and finding draft to save his life, though.
On defense, he could. I mean, he found a lot of great players defensively and was able to basically provide the help for Tom Brady to do whatever he had to do on the offensive side. It's a similar thing with Mahomes, and Vic is a different general manager. But my point is that I just think we overpraise these selections from front offices based purely on the greatness of their quarterback. Because when you have one, it makes everybody else's job so much easier. It's a trickle-down effect. And so is Xavier Worthy as good as, I don't know, Marvin Harrison? No. But in that system with that quarterback, he's going to touch the ball five times a game. He might score twice like he did on Thursday. So the Chiefs, I think, look so much better, and their draft picks will look so much better just because of how great their quarterback is.
Well, I would agree with you, but I do think that when you look at how young they get, and still, they're like one of the younger teams in the NFL.
Their defense is, yeah.
And, you know, aside from Kelsey, but they're moving away from Kelsey. Kelsey had what? It was pretty underwhelming. He had the one big catch the other night. But this is an offense that's slowly getting away from one of its best players, and they have the ability to do that simply because they, through Brett Veach, have gone out and have actually got younger for a team that's looking to three-peat. My point is that typically when you're looking at a team that's been that dominant for that long, we're always talking about windows, and we're like, well, when the hell is the window going to close on these guys? Now, granted, you're right. It begins and ends with Patrick Mahomes, but they've just done a good job of staying young and relevant, which is obviously where you want to be at the end of the day.
Yeah, especially if you have an expensive quarterback. You want to be young around him. I just also think that, look, the combination of head coach and quarterback is ultimately important as well, but I don't know. Look, someone like Kelsey needs to be a massive part of the Chiefs' season. And I understand they just went out and beat Baltimore. And I don't know, you can make the case Kansas City didn't even play at their peak. It's week one of the NFL. I am not so sure I see it with this team just because, I don't know. I feel like eventually they're going to run into a team, probably in the postseason, that's going to be able to take advantage of some of the holes that we're not seeing yet. And honestly, it doesn't have to do so much with me betting against Mahomes. It's just betting against history and betting against a team that, to me, has just been worn down over the course of the last 4 years. I mean, they've played more football than anybody outside of maybe the San Francisco 49ers. And I just feel like eventually that's going to take us. Let me just unveil my first hot take of the day. The Kansas City Chiefs will not make the Super Bowl. They will not get back to the Super Bowl. I also don't think the San Francisco 49ers will get back to the Super Bowl. Both teams that we saw last year playing in overtime for it all, I don't think we see either of them this season.
The only reason why I think Kansas City has an actual shot of three-peating, and who the hell knows? Like, we've got 6 months of this, is that, first of all, I think they're better than they were last year, as I pointed out. The one thing they couldn't do last year, and they won a Super Bowl, is that they couldn't throw deep. And Patrick Mahomes, he wants to take the top off. And now he's got, not only does he have this kid Xavier Worthy, who happens to be pound for pound the fastest player in this year's NFL draft. He's a sub 4.4 guy.
He's a twig.
And then you got Hollywood Brown, who wasn't even in uniform the other day. They're better. I think their roster is better this year. But I'm with you. The reason why I think that they have a shot of actually three-peating is because last year last year was the gift. I don't think they were that good last year. And I think last year was the year that the 49ers should have beat them. They had two games on the road last year to get to the Super Bowl. Like, that was the off year, you know what I mean? And I think this year, they're at full strength and they're actually better. Last year, I think they were susceptible. But the fact that they got that bowl in year two for the three-peat, That tells me that they got a hell of a shot at it this year. But the emotional toll, as it relates not only to Kansas City and the 49ers, I'm with you there, that you can't look at these things and measure it in terms of rosters and talent. It just becomes, what have you got left as far as baggage, going to all those championship games, getting to a Super Bowl, not winning it, and getting to Super Bowls and actually winning it and being the hunted for the third consecutive year. It takes its toll.
It does, but I also think we also overrate in the NFL a lot, like these close victories, you know, this idea of clutch, because in the NFL, things are so random, and we're sitting here praising the Chiefs and talking about how great they are and this, that, and the other. The defense is a little bit better, but they're still young, and the offense has got this brand new toy and Ferrari that Andy Reid can, you know, just put his foot to the pedal for it. But the thing is, Dan, they also were a shoe size away from potentially losing that football game on Thursday. We're having a very different conversation.
Yeah, but it's always that way with Kansas City.
But that's the point, though, is I just feel like eventually that runs out. One of the reasons why they've been so good is because they've been able to put teams away. In the playoffs last year, and I know they went in and they won it all, and credit to them, they won, I think, every single game by single digits. I mean, every single... Buffalo was a three-point victory. The Ravens, I believe, was single digits. And then, of course, against the Niners in overtime. To me, when you have the best player on the field, there you do have that ultimate confidence. But I'm just willing to play a numbers game and say, if they're trying to win every single regular season game like that, it's going to really tax them. And eventually, when they get to the postseason, I feel like they wear down.
But that's the way they live. They could have lost that Super Bowl easily to Philadelphia. They could have lost the Super Bowl last year in overtime to the 49ers. They could have lost that AFC championship. Remember the Joe Burrow game a couple of years back?
The one they won?
No, the one they won.
Yeah.
Was a game they easily could have lost. That's sort of the high wire act that is the Kansas City Chiefs. But the fact that nobody actually knocked them off in this, you know, in this road to a three-peat leads me to believe that this might be the year when they actually do dominate everybody. Like the year, they were much more vulnerable in the last 2 years, I think, than this year, at least when I look at them on paper and what it is that they have. And the fact that they're actually got younger in terms of their overall roster.
But I also think their best players are a bit older, and you need those guys to be Hall of Fame players. And I'm talking about Kelce and Jones. Jones is still dominant, but I think Kelce has taken a step back. He's going to be on a pitch count this season. And they're basically just trying to try and load manage their way through this year because they know how difficult it is to get to the end. That's where the Niners, to me, have an opportunity to potentially take a step forward, is because they came up short, they do have, I don't know, maybe just a little more internal fire and motivation, similar to how they were 2 years ago when they lost to the Eagles and felt like they probably got robbed of an opportunity to win that football game. That sparked them at the beginning of last season, and I felt like they ran out of gas at the tail end of last year. It was relevant right after the Christmas game against the Ravens. They sort of stumbled down the stretch of the regular season, even though they had the bye in basically, you know, an extra week in week 18 heading into the postseason. It clearly impacted them against the Packers as well as the Lions, and they came out flat. So hopefully the Niners can sort of take a page out of the Chiefs' book, because I think they have the most talented roster in football, as far as being top-heavy, but they have the most playmakers, all-pros, pro bowlers, in my opinion, on both sides of the football. And I just feel like the Niners, what they should take away from the Chiefs is what you're talking about, is the fact that this is a team that performs a high-wire act just because they're trying to get through every game until they get to the playoffs. They realize that maybe they don't have to beat every team by a million points. In my opinion, that's a dangerous way to live. You know, I do think that point differential is indicative of how good of a football team you overall are. And while the Chiefs made a mockery of that stat last year, and I think lost 3 of 4, perhaps it was 3 of 5 heading into the postseason, they're able to turn it on. The Niners, to me, if they're going to get through this year and make a deep run to the postseason, I don't think they can come out of the gates firing as fast as they did last season.
Well, and the reason why Kansas City wins these narrow games is because they're always going to be the hunted, right? Same with the 49ers. And just to get back to Green Bay and Detroit, one of the reasons why I'm curious, especially when it comes to Green Bay, to see how it is that they do and whether they can repeat the way the Packers played towards the end of last year, is that it's very different now that you don't sneak up on anybody. It's very different now when you become the hunted as opposed to the hunter. And that's a world where the 49ers as well of Kansas City are very familiar with, that they don't get any gifts. You don't sneak up on anybody. Everybody puts a circle and an asterisk around the 49ers or the Kansas City Chiefs coming to town. The one thing I do want to know, however, is I'm a bit confused. Is Kelce, did he break up with Taylor Swift? Did he not? I mean, this is, I'm sorry, but this to
we
me
went
is
23 minutes without mentioning.
But the PR team, because I stay on top of this stuff, apparently came out with a statement that the two are no longer seeing each other. And they went through their respective PR agencies.
A PR statement?
Him. Yes.
Dan, how do you stay on top of all this? Like, I'm more concerned with DeAndre Swift. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean a PR? One of the reasons I thought that Amazon inked Kelce to a $100 million deal for his podcast with him and his brother was the fact that, I don't know, Taylor Swift was going to make an appearance. Ken, do we have more?
Yeah, this is from People magazine. I'm just reading about it. I don't know why.
Dan, you read People magazine?
On Friday,
give it to him. Give it to him.
On Friday, September 6th, they were spotted going to a pizza spot in Brooklyn, Lucali's. So,
oh, Lucali's, which, yeah, by the way, on Dave Portnoy's Barstool app is, like, I want to say an 8.5, really good pizza slice.
Is that where people break up?
I wouldn't say so. You're not going to take somebody to a well-established pizza place in Brooklyn just to end things.
Maybe you want more eyes, and so the other person can't cry.
They're still together.
I mean, well, when you're breaking up with someone, I feel like it's kind of better to do it in public, and it's really going to be
this,
gross.
My friend's wife.
Absolutely.
My friend's wife is super annoying. She just wants to see the world. Actually, God bless her. She wants to see the world through these...
you better take that back.
These rose-colored glasses. Right? Well, she lives in New York. She's not...
You better be careful!
And she's always like, oh, they're such a beautiful... I'm like, yeah, there's some bad people in the world. But no, everybody is good. Taylor Swift, she's so good. She's so pure. And I wish more people were like her. I wish more stars were like her. I'm all about this woman. And I remember, I don't do anything on social media, but I did drop her. I slid into her DMs, and I dropped her that from a year ago when Taylor Swift was dropping in the Kansas City, at a Kansas City Chief game, let's effing go! Like, I think that's the last thing she expected out of Taylor Swift's mouth. Like, she tried to tell me, Taylor Swift would never swear.
What do people really know about this woman? Like, if we're being honest, no one knows her. We all know her through whatever, you know, I guess PR agency is putting out statements about her relationships. I don't know Taylor Swift. I don't know Travis Kelce, and neither do you. Quit lying to yourself out there. I know people follow her career. They love her music. She makes great songs. Apparently, she's a great, you know, in-stadium performer, all the rest, and she's a billionaire. And look, all I'm saying is that...
Can we get some Cruel Summer and just...
I will not have this season be hijacked once again by Taylor Swift and the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what? I hope they break up just so we have to talk about her and so she can finally be in love with someone that apparently is not going to use her as a publicity stunt the way that the Kelces and their PR agency are making it out to seem.
You need a little
blank. He doesn't love that woman.
You need a little... Hold my hand and let's play a little blank space as we go to a break. Like, that's what we need right now.
What we need is a blank space between you and me.
What do you got going tonight? Who are you calling? The Galloping Gales before we...
why are they galloping? They're not... A gale? Or okay. A gale, Dan.
Yes, go ahead.
Is...
By the way, we're talking about St. Mary's.
Yeah, we're talking about the St. Mary's Gales. I believe the original gale was it's a Gaelic.
It's back in, I want to say back in the 50s, we're a powerhouse in football, a top 10 football perennial powerhouse.
Yeah, I think they got rid of their football program in the late 90s, early 2000s, but now they've been replaced by Randy Bennett and the men's basketball program. No, I call games for them, so I'll be doing some volleyball. Their home openers today at 3 p.m. Feel free to show up to Moraga if you're in the area. It's a great campus, great time. But that's why I'm, you know, Dapper Dan'd up today. I'm putting my best Devon on.
Who are they playing today?
The Gales?
Yeah.
Well, they're kind of in a round-robin tournament.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So, nonetheless, 888-957-9570 is the number. I'm going to give that out. Xfinity Mobile text line as well. Shout out to our YouTube chat as well as Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Look, man, we're talking about the NFL today. We have a couple thoughts about the Giants and some news, but really, I do want to dig into the meat of this season, which is the NFL. I mean, it's all about the San Francisco 49ers and their Super Bowl hopes. I've already given out one of my hot takes. I'm going to extract over his dead body or not, Devone's hottest take by the end of this show. I'm going to get Ken Littrell in on this action, who's wearing a Dolphins hat as we speak. Don't make me get out the harpoon in order to bring Miami back to the bottom, but I will do it. I will do it, Dan. And so basically, over the course of this show, I also want to hear what people are most excited about, whether it be for the 49ers or just for the NFL. Like, I'm excited to just sit down, pig out, grab a brew and some wings, and just watch football tomorrow. Like, that's what I'm going to do.
How about a little quinoa?
Quinoa?
And invite me.
Well, you can bring the quinoa if you want. I'll be down on 3rd Street, and I don't know if bars are, you know, BYOQ. Bring your own quinoa.
In a acai berry oatmeal sort of, you know, a little acai berry smoothie.
Well, you dipped out on me, what was it, a week or two ago. We're supposed to go to Monahan's, and you said, sorry, I'm busy. You know, I got to get back to the Presidio, and wherever else you reside.
My hands are tied. But no, it's happening. We'll get sideways.
I got you.
We'll find out. We'll get beyond the fluff and find out what we're really all about and just, bro hug it at the end of the night.
Well, if you want to get sideways with Giddings and Devone, call in. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to take a break, come back, continue to talk about the NFL week one coming up. Already two games in the book. Got my biggest takeaways on the other side, as well as what you should be looking out for the San Francisco 49ers. All of that's coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Know Taylor Swift. I don't know Travis Kelce, and neither do you.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
But Dan Devone does.
Wow.
Dan Devone apparently does. By the way, we can't see you, Dan. You gotta get your camera back on there.
What do you want me to do?
Okay, give it a sec. Ken will come in and help you out.
Brother, I just talk into a microphone. You know that.
This isn't just radio. We got to also interact with the people.
Well, I'll point the camera at me, and then I'll do what I do. But well, I just
the camera liked you. You've been on TV for 30 years.
You point me at a camera, or you point me at a microphone, and just say, blow, kid, blow. I don't, from a technical side of thing.
Phrasing.
Oh, wait, hold on. I think I'll fix things.
Oh, you got it?
No.
Come on, Ken. Please help him out. See, this is... We're also
Ken, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you on television.
Producer extraordinaire.
Jersey Ken with a Dolphin hat. He's a Mets fan. Who the hell knows?
The biggest Miami fan this side of the Mississippi. I'm going to wait for him to get back in studio so he can dig deeper into his fandom. By the way, so, Dan, you are a city individual. You are from San Francisco. One of the more, I would say, residential areas, correct? West Side.
Well, we out there in the sand. Side. This isn't Chicago. It's not New York. West Side Story. Where the hell is West Side?
You're from the west side of the city. Am I right?
Well, we don't refer to it by the bridge.
Sunset.
Which bridge? Sunset. Okay, give me a district.
You from the outer?
Outer Sunset?
Yeah.
Or outer Richmond?
I'm asking you
no,
where you're
I'm
from.
I'm in the Richmond district, yeah.
Okay. So, you grew up in the Richmond?
Yes. 21st, between 21st and Lake in California.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Lake Street, predominantly.
Lake Street?
Yeah.
Dude, that
they shut down for the pandemic.
Yeah, I know. And they've still got to shut down. By the way, so we got the Niners coming up Monday night, 5:15 kickoff against the New York Jets. Dan's very high on New York. We'll tell you why in a moment. But
no, I'm not.
Before we get to that, dude, I've been putting together like a power rankings of streets in San Francisco, like individual streets, because there are some that are more... I don't know. There's something cool and vibrant, architecturally sound. Like I'm not talking about the painted ladies, the painted sisters on Alamo Square. I'm not talking about them. By the way, there are far more beautiful Victorians around the city that I would suggest people go check out. But Lake Street,
yeah,
cracks my top five.
No, that's good knowledge.
Lake Street.
Yeah, no, Lake Street, it's in the Richmond district, which is pretty, I would say, well, there's nothing I was going to say sort of blue collar, but I mean, if you're going to own a home in San Francisco, there's no such thing anymore. It's sort of become, since I was a kid, sort of upper middle class, but then Lake Street gets into sort of this highbrow community, but it's immersed in sort of a working community, I would say, sort of neighborhood, but Lake Street is it's a gem, as they like to refer to it.
Well, because it borders the Presidio, but it also is one of the few streets, number one, that I think has, I've been trying to figure out, has only one street sweeping a month, which is huge if you're out there because your cars, I mean, I know you probably have a garage, but your car, you got to figure out a place to put it so you don't have to worry about the street sweeping and picking up these $150 tickets. The other part of it, too, is that because it is right next to the Presidio, there's so many different entrances that you would go beyond Lake Street. So it ends up being quite a quiet street, even though it's in one of the busier places in the city.
Well, when you have real pull, is like what they did out on Euclid Street, where they have these roundabouts which basically slows down or deters traffic. For those of you that it's Euclid's not very big. Also, if you have real pull in a neighborhood or you happen to have a politician living on your block, there's some blocks that have eradicated telephone poles just because they think it's an eyesore. They don't want the wires above their head. So, you know, there's different ways of when you're talking about beautifying the street that you live on. If you have some sort of like political clout, you can make things happen just like anywhere else.
Like the number one street, I think, in the Mission that I would want to live on because it's got its own.
Valencia.
No. I was going to say Shotwell.
Yes, that's a great call.
Shotwell.
Although a lot of women of the night on Shotwell, apparently.
Well, I haven't been there for too long.
I think like after hours, I want to say, because
there's a couple of cool little bars down there.
Yes, and I was down there one time and I met a friend and they were talking about, well, yeah, Shotwell's pretty. It's one of those places that a lot of people aren't aware of. It's really cool. It's got a vibe. But at night in the Shotwell area, like the neighbors are really upset because it becomes filled with streetwalkers like after midnight.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I'm sure there's also going to be a lot of Niners fans walking down Shotwell on Monday night because they're taking on the New York Jets.
Can we just stay on that? And thankfully, I can say this because of the outcome concerning our man Ricky Pearsall, which I'm sure we'll get into. But one of the things that we remember that night or that day that we walked in here and the morning show had that list of places he should go to, and they were all tourist attractions. One of which I could have sworn was Union Square. And we were like, no, don't go to any of these damn places.
It's true. We tried to tell them.
Just stay to the watering holes. Go to where the locals go. You're going to get in trouble if you get outside of that. And sure enough, you know, Union Square, not to make light of this, and we'll get into Ricky Pearsall, but just a little tongue-in-cheek of what happened to our man, Ricky Pearsall, getting robbed down downtown San Francisco.
By the way, it was literally like two blocks away from where we are right now.
Is that right?
It's on Grant and Geary. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. We had a news anchor on talking about, you know, basically the play-by-play of it was coming out of Louis Vuitton store, out attempted robbery from a 17-year-old. Look, it's not a good story.
No.
But I'm very glad that Ricky Pearsall is okay. I'm very glad that everything is all right with him, his family. And apparently this dude was trying to play week one. Did you see that, Dan?
That, the range of emotion with that
thing. He says, I'll be good for a Monday night.
Just think about the emotional pendulum. Now, I don't know where you were when the word came down, but initially my thought process is when you hear about somebody getting shot in the chest, it's like, is he alive?
Yeah.
Right? And to go from there to suddenly incrementally the news got better, that he's in stable condition, didn't hit any vital organs, that it's not life-threatening. And then he gets discharged less than 24 hours later. And then 48 hours later, he's seen at the weight room in Santa Clara.
You think he was doing bench press?
My goodness. I mean, you talk about just from where you were at one point, and really in sort of on a serious note, and I don't mean to go zen on you this early in the morning, but...
Well, you're probably on a yoga mat 3 hours ago getting ready for the show.
I was in the water. It's sort of one and the same. You get into a meditative state. But here's the thing is that I think it puts everything in its proper perspective. Does it? Does it not? I mean, all of us have to just think about how thankful we are, how fleeting life is. But as far as this offseason, as it relates to the 49ers, we spent all this time talking about Brandon Ayuk and really get $30 million, really get $28 million, and here's his backup fighting for his life. I think it just sort of puts everything, and sometimes we need that sober slap in the face to remind us, first of all, how fortunate you are just to be a football player. And secondly, never take this thing for granted, this damn thing called life, because as it was just proven and reminded to all of us, that it can be taken away from you just like that. So it's fleeting, it's short, and sometimes we just need that reminder of just how fortunate we are, whether we're fans or whether you're a player, just to do this thing and dance on this planet for however long we're doing it.
Well, and also, look, it means that I'm rooting for him a little bit more than I was
before.
Oh,
hell yes.
I mean, like, I want this kid to be great. I don't care what I thought about the pick. Doesn't really matter what I've thought about him so far. It's been unfortunate we haven't got to see him much in training camp or especially in preseason games because he's had the shoulder injury, I think a hamstring, and he's been nicked up. But I'm rooting for this kid. Just the same way, like last year, I don't know if you remember, but I was a big fan of Brian Robinson, the Washington Commanders running back, who got shot before the preseason. I think was out 5 weeks In between when he got shot and when he was back on the field. Like, I had this running joke with my brother that Keenan Allen couldn't get over a hamstring injury before Brian Robinson got shot and was back on the field. And so I don't know if Pearsall is going to come out the way that Robinson did to, you know, 50 Cent's Many Men, or if he's going to lead the team out on Monday night and carry the Niners flag or the boombox and be right there with Debo and Trent. But I think he has absolutely won himself some fans just with his fortunate situation, being alive at this point. I think everybody's rooting for Ricky
Pearsall.
Just
think about it. You know that there's people, whether it's a producer or a writer at ESPN 30 for 30 or just one of those guys that does these documentaries for a living, that they're already written the script and they're just waiting for him to catch his first pass or his first touchdown to write the epilogue, like just to close the chapter on this remarkable story that is Ricky Pearsall. From getting shot in the chest to catching a touchdown pass, and the whole thing with that tattoo of the prayer, the arms in the prayer position on his chest. I mean, all of that is just it's a remarkable, thankfully, a story that's going to end up with a happy ending, regardless if he catches a pass or my whole thought process.
Oh, he's winning in life.
Yeah, he's on borrowed time, man. He's on borrowed. And my whole thing when it happened was like, I just hope that he's okay and he can live a healthy life. I wasn't even thinking about football. And the fact that this guy might be coming back in a month, I mean, it just blows my mind.
I just hope that if and when something is made about him, that they don't, you know, go full Hollywood and turn the scene into him getting shot six times and, you know, fighting off multiple people and attackers. No, just I think, look, Ricky Pearsall's story is one that is, I think, inspirational and should make you feel a little bit grateful. You know, like whatever the actions were that transpired that led to the situation that did, it doesn't really matter at this point. I also thought it was funny that allegedly, you know, they're supposed to have the party the same night.
Yeah, that was great. That's part of the documentary.
Well, that should be scene one, because Ricky Pearsall told them to continue with the party, to keep partying, bring Rick Ross out. I don't know if he's flying to Santa Clara, where he's going to, but he wants to meet up with Kyle Shanahan, who's looking like General, you know, Custer, in his all white, you know, high school prom suit. And Ricky Pearsall is just like, dude, I wish I could be there. In fact, if he'd gotten discharged before, he probably would have tried to be there.
Really, it's an amazing story. And, you know, one of the things, just to bring it back to the Zen Center, shout out, here in San Francisco, off of Laguna Street, is one of the things that you learn to do is, it's called moment of gratitude. And sometimes we all just need to remind ourselves of what it is that we're thankful for. And I start with health. And all of us, and some of us are dealing with health issues that might be listening this morning, but just sometimes just to be thankful for what it is that you have in this world. We don't take personal inventory enough. That aside, when they do the movie, that is the Ricky Pearsall movie, I got the perfect typecast, or who it is that we can cast for Ricky Pearsall.
The actor?
Well, it's not necessarily an actor, but he's going to be an actor because he's the perfect person to play Ricky Pearsall. And yes, he's part of our 95.7 The Game.
Who are you thinking of?
Lucas. Right? We just got to put about 10 pounds on him.
Oh,
he's got the hair,
boy.
The look. Is he tiny?
Lucas Alexander.
Tiny?
Lucas is like 5'8".
Is Lucas, well, over Ricky Pearsall's in that neighborhood.
No.
Is Lucas tatted?
Is Lucas what? Sorry, I've been laughing for the last 30 seconds. He's not tatted. I think we're going to have to get him some henna, or I don't know.
Whenever. That's
some
still a thing.
Temporary tattoos, if people still do that. You're right, 408, Nick's Fitted Mobile Text Line. I won't wear my Rolex and flashy jewelry around downtown SF. And not even before the Pearsall shooting. I don't own that stuff, all right? Although I do have... All right. I got to ask you this, because we get personal a lot on this show. And hey, look, I promise we're going to get to football in a second. But I also want to open this up, 888-957-9570. Dan Devone, have you ever worn a fake piece of jewelry?
No, I don't wear jewelry.
Or fake, I don't know, like fake Jordans?
Yeah. Oh, fake. I did.
Like fake shoes.
For a moment, I rocked a fake Rolex that I got off a street vendor in New York City.
What? Do tell.
Yeah, no, I got one. You can get those things for literally like $20. And I looked at a real Rolex.
You got on a date or something?
I thought that would be really super. You know, this is back in the day when you're into those sort of materialistic goods before, of course, I found the Zen Center.
Yeah, seriously.
And
you
now,
couldn't tell Devone's a morning person, everybody.
And so now I just, you know, I don't need those sort of things. For those of you that can't, that are just listening to me on radio, that I'm dressed in loincloth and sandals, and that's the way I lead my life. No, but in all seriousness, I got a fake Rolex that literally, there's a reason why those things are $15-$20. They look sharp upon buying the thing, but I would say less than 10 days later, the entire thing just fell apart. I mean, just completely fell apart. The face of the watch itself, the band, all just like disintegrated. It just wasn't like
dissipated.
I could take it to a shop and saying, hey, I'm having an issue with this. Could you think you could fix it? No, the whole thing just like exploded.
I've never worn fake jewelry, but I have worn fake Yeezys. Like those things were $500, $600 when they first started coming. I think they might probably be run more than that a K, depending on where you're buying them from. But you were able
where
to.
Where did you pick them up for?
Oh, geez. You remember, Ken, you familiar with AliExpress? It's like it's a knockoff Chinese website. Anyways, it takes like 2 months for these things to ship. No, you haven't heard of it?
No, it just sounds right. Oh. Chinese website.
Yeah, AliExpress, shout out. I think it's Guangdong province. I'm not sure. But the point is, they send you these shoes that look exactly like the real thing. And so you don't understand. And as look, I'll throw some Dr. Scholl's in there. The creasing, it doesn't happen as quickly. But also, the arch support is just god-awful. You can't run in them. You can't do anything in them. But you can look nice. And so I did wear a pair of fake Yeezys.
I also did get a knockoff pair, I want to say, of Prada sunglasses, also for about that $20 neighborhood, and they too are also. I could not see out of the thing, but I looked good. I was walking into walls. Literally, I could not see hand in front of the face. Do we have? Do we have any update on? I want to get back to Taylor Swift. Didn't we have something?
What is there to update people about in regards to...
Is she together with Kelce or not? I need to know. Inquiring minds need to know.
See, this is something that always fascinates me. The need, and this isn't just about celebrities. I feel like it's like a work office thing. It starts in high school, maybe middle school. Who people are dating, who people are into, does she like him, does he like her? Do we really need to run down this road?
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because there's not enough going on in my personal life that I seek fulfillment through other things. It fills a void. There's a lack of anything of substance in my life, so I have to glom on to celebrities and live through them vicariously, if you didn't know.
Does this stem from your childhood trauma on Lake Street?
By the way, you know how she got her name, Taylor Swift?
She picked it out of a hat? I don't know.
No. Well, are you familiar with the artist, this predates all of us, of James Taylor? He was I think it's James Taylor.
Fire and Rain?
Man,
I've seen
wear that hat with pride.
Ken's got knowledge.
Wow, James Taylor, who was married to, I mentioned her earlier in the show. Carly Simon.
Carly Simon, that's right.
You know, I went down this.
You're so vain.
I know, iCarly.
You're so vain. This guy is amazing. So I did this deep dive because I like to listen to podcasts in the background, whether it's for, you know, investing advice or whether it's sports and or politics.
I pictured you as a white noise guy.
And so somebody had a podcast and they mentioned Carly Simon and they said, you know, she was a great lyricist. Like her father is from Carly Simon, Simon & Schuster. So she was very good in terms of writing lyrics, and it got into this conversation. Well, does anyone really listen to lyrics anymore, or is it about the melody and the beat? Does anyone really pay attention? And so I actually looked up the lyrics to her song, You're So Vain, and that's how you write a song. It's like not only was it mellifluous, but it was amazing in terms of the lyrics. So do you know who Warren Beatty is? That's who she used to date back in the day. Who was like this big, Warren Beatty was the guy.
Pitcher for the Yankees?
Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh.
or maybe. So she writes this song, and here, I'll just tell you right at the top of my head. Nobody knew who it was she was writing about. She says, he walks into a party like he's walking onto a yacht. His hat strategically pulled over one eye. His scarf, it was apricot. His eye was looking into the mirror as he watched himself caveat. Chef's kiss. I had to look up caveat. It's a little French dance. I'm like, wow, who writes like that? Shout out Carly Simon. Go ahead. Let's get back to McCaffrey.
Well, we haven't touched McCaffrey. I don't know if Warren Beatty had a, you know, an Achilles injury, but that's McCaffrey's ailment going into Monday night. No, I want to stay on this because apparently you guys So you read these lyrics and you'll go to what? Like, what did you go to before Rap Genius or before whatever website breaks down these lyrics? How interpretive were they? Ken's also from a different generation than me.
Yeah, it's really whatever was on the sleeve of the CD. I mean, I grew up with CDs, so the lyrics were on the CD, so that's kind of where you would gather all that. And then in the thank you notes, there's a lot of great, at the end of the album or the cover or the sleeve, it'll give you a little tidbit on certain things.
But the bigger question becomes, do you pay attention to lyrics or are you into the beat? And I think the majority of us are into the beat or the melody or the vibe, so to speak, as opposed to breaking down what it is somebody's saying.
Well, I don't pay attention to lyrics and songs that much, but I did pay attention to the fact that you magnificently use mellifluous earlier about three sentences ago during your soliloquy. And Dan, I didn't know. Okay. I don't know University of Arizona had it like that, if I'm just being honest. I didn't know that the Wildcats...
Hey, I'll admit, U of A was basically... It's not a school, it's a keg party for 4 years, but we can hold our own, man. Probably shout out Dan Hicks and Geraldo Rivera came out of the journalism school. It's about it.
Yeah, I thought they had a count, a syllable count. You weren't allowed to go above three.
Journalism school at the University of Arizona. Shout out, bear down.
Well, so you were what? When was journalism school? When did that become a thing? By the way,
were you not a journalist major?
No, I studied economics. No, I didn't. No, I didn't do journalism.
Economics?
They didn't have a journalism program at a small liberal arts school in Salem, Oregon.
Journalism's fascinating. It's a fascinating major because
it feels like it's going down the drain.
Well, and I'll tell you why for me because I could not. You know, if it math is one of the reasons why I was like I could never graduate anything high school, college. Like you know, seeing these people doing calc and pre-engineering, I'm like what. Which is what you probably did.
Oh, yeah, and I want to do some stats on the other side. It's going to be great.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like learning about libel and all these sort of relevant issues that are, you know, that are topical in today's presidential race and these sort of things. I need things that are relevant, and journalism always provided that. But it was sort of a segue indirectly into, they had a radio television minor, so you could do these sort of things. So but, like Syracuse.
Well, yeah, but you're an entrepreneurial person now. Like, you deal with math.
Well, now I do. I don't. My business partner does all the math sort of thing.
So what do you do?
I reach out to people in my personal... You know what it is? I go after...
It's a walking Rolodex.
I go after the funding. And so it's all about forging these relationships with these PEs, as they're known, private equity investors. By the way, if you wanted a hint, if you wanted to make some quick cash, mm-hmm. where it is that you want to put your hard-earned money...
Bitcoin.
Is right... No, forget about Bitcoin or NFTs. What you want to do right now is anything that has to do with women's sports, that's where the investment dollar is going. Like, it's very trendy in terms of where people are investing their money. First of all, the interest rates have to come down next month. And when that happens, then the dollar will once again come off the sidelines. But people are investing in women's sports. And so anything that has to, because that's what's really trending after the Olympics, especially after the women's national team in rugby got the bronze, and to go along with the popularity of the WNBA, like that's where private equity right now in terms of sports technology wants to put its money in women's sports.
You read all of this in People magazine?
By the way, Caitlin Clark, we should get into her at some point.
Well, we got 2 minutes here. What is it about her that captivates you? Is it just how polarizing a figure she is?
Well, the polarization is what has created this popularity, which is what's created funding from like that of these private equity firms. It's because of it, of what Aja Wilson said the other day, this yeah. ongoing battle about who's going to be the rookie of the year. All of the fact she didn't go to the Olympics, all of this. I know it's petty, and I know we should be above it, and you can get into the minutia, but the mere fact that all this drama has created
Caitlin Clark?
Is created to, the popularity that is the WNBA this year.
Yeah, okay, so do you want to get that that off, or... Damn.
I'm going to turn you off, Dan.
Damn it, Dan.
Well, Ken, can you get in here and turn off my phone?
No, we got 2 minutes. I'll vamp for a little bit. No, I think Caitlin Clark is extremely interesting and one of the big reasons that I've watched as much WNBA as I have. And I'm fully willing to admit that she is the reason why I'm interested. I mean, and I understand how, and it's also enlightened me as to how great the rest of the athletes are. Like, I followed mainly women's college basketball because back in 2019, I'd always been familiar with UConn. Like, the UConn players, Maya Moore was one of my favorites. My favorite player, and I still follow the Liberty because of her, would be Brianna Stewart.
Mm.
So I just love Stewie. And I believe she just turned 30. But Brandon Stewart and the rest of the UConn team, it was really cool when I was doing pre and post and like studio hosting for UConn back in 2019. We got to interact with a few of the players because Gino Auriemma for his coach's show would just bring on all these A-listers. I mean, not even from just the UConn ranks, but he'd be able to get, like one time Kobe Bryant called in, Tiger Woods he'd be able to get on his podcast, the which he would play. Gino is just this, is just unbelievable figure that commands the respect of everyone across the sporting world. And so it was just really cool to just basically be a fly on a wall and just sit there and listen to all these magnificent Huskies come through the lines. Unfortunately, that year they weren't very good. But since then, the college women's game has really been more interesting to me than the WNBA up until Caitlin Clark had gotten to the WNBA. And maybe that's on me as a novice. There's probably a lot of people out there listening saying, what the hell? Why didn't you watch before? You know, you're not qualified to comment on these things. But it's really just a matter of interest that I find fascinating about this sport because, to your point, it has been growing since the Olympics, and it does feel like, in addition to there being an absence of sports outside of Major League Baseball, which has a waning interest, it's also because of the characters that are now in this league that has previously not had many characters.
Yeah, I would almost equate it, and this is a large statement, but it's almost what Larry Bird and Magic Johnson did in terms of saving the NBA back in the day, to what it is that we're witnessing with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. I think when we look back on this year, they're going to be the ones that are going to get all the credit for opening the floodgates to the popularity that is the WNBA.
No doubt. We can dig into that a little bit more on the other side. I also have some thoughts on some local topics. And then even, dude, I'm sorry. I know we've been, you know, waiting to break out the cannons, but I got to go at DirecTV on the other side also. I got some thoughts for my service provider. That's what's coming up next on The Game. Evan Giddings alongside Dan DeVoe and taking your calls as well. 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get some 49ers takes off, if you want to talk about the Eagles, the Packers, the Chiefs, the Ravens. What are you waiting for in NFL Week 1? All that coming up next in hour number 2 on 95.7 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.